back on the Young Turks. I'm so amused by Trump in the middle of all that NFL nonsense being like, bad ratings. Okay, we're trying to have a policy discussion, right? Mm-hmm. About principles and yada yada. Oh yeah, bad ratings. I win.
Yeah, he's a child. It's so devastating.
Yes. Casper, congratulations.
Yeah. On?
The new show of the year, Streamies.
Oh, thanks.
Did you see my me and Irina did an acceptance speech? You didn't see it, right?
I didn't see it, no.
And we kind of mentioned, I kind of
really
thanked you.
Oh my God, I got to check it out.
All of a sudden, she cares.
Did you really mention me, or did you say that to get me to check it out?
Yeah, of course, I'm lying to you.
Oh, okay.
You got to check it out and find out.
Yeah. All right, okay. I'll check it out.
No, of course I mentioned you. Why would I lie to you?
I don't know. It's not that I didn't want to be there. I did want to be there. We had concert tickets, and I really didn't want to go to the concert, but I knew I was going to like get an earful if I didn't go. So we went to that, and I had a mediocre time.
Okay, well then yeah. That happened.
Yeah, yeah.
What was the concert?
So it was Solange, who's Beyonce's sister, and she's actually super talented. But I think I'm getting to a point where I'm kind of tired of concerts myself.
You see that? I always win at the end.
Yeah. I was so tired yesterday. I didn't want to go. I didn't want to do anything. But I ended up doing everything.
That was Jesus' tickets, right?
No. We had tickets ourselves.
So Jesus was very nice, offered some tickets. And I was thinking, I am the least likely person to take this offer at the Young Turks.
Yeah, 100%.
You lost me at concert way before we got to Solange.
Yeah, she's so good though. She's super. I think Solange is like super underrated.
I think I once got a massage at a Solange.
You're terrible.
Okay, if you told me what group was Solange part of, I'm like, was she or is she just Beyonce's sister and she wasn't part of a group?
She was.
What, didn't they have a group in the beginning?
They did, Destiny's Child. But yeah, no, she was never part of that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Is she the one that Jay-Z was beefing with?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. She's fierce.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
she's
very
fierce.
Yeah, I got the Swedish one. It's very fierce.
But just quickly going back to the award. Like, you're the worst. I don't know why. Like I always want to achieve things, but then when I achieve it, I'm just like, oh, okay, that's kind of cool. Like on to the next. Yep. And that's not a good thing. Like I should just like savor it. Like, oh, this is great. This is awesome. Like, let me savor it for a moment.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, look, real quick, because I want to talk about the thing you mentioned earlier. That's absolutely true. And I've been accused of moving the goalposts and setting newer and higher goals.
Yeah.
And that accusation is accurate.
Yeah.
But right before I move the goalpost, I enjoy the touchdown.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's important. And now every day when I wake up, I try to go over three things. SLOW is the acronym. SLO.
Mm-hmm.
S is for savor.
Mm-hmm.
If you had only one day to live, and look, today the McCain stuff was pretty powerful.
Yeah.
Him saying, no, that's it, I lived a good life.
Oh, God.
Yes.
It's so sad.
That is sad. As much as, you know, all the disagreements we've had throughout the years, it's super sad. And if you had only one day left, how much would you try to savor that day? Well, you should try to savor every day just as much, because that today is no less important than that day.
Right.
That's okay,
true.
And I try to remind myself of that every day. Okay, L is for luckiest man alive, because I really believe I'm the luckiest man alive.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to get into all the reasons why, but I'm incredibly grateful for the life that I have. And O is for one thing at a time, because I'm particularly guilty of this. I try to jam everything at the same time, and I get stressed about the 19 things I'm not doing at that moment.
Yes, yes.
Okay. And the reality is, yeah, I get it, and that's the one hardest one for me, okay? But whether you like it or not, you could only do one thing at a time. So you should actually savor that, do it, tackle it, do it to the best of your ability, then the next, then the next, then the next. Because you don't have a choice anyway, so what are you killing yourself for?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, you're right.
Okay.
All right, Oliver Sipple. That's who we're going to talk about.
All right, let's do it.
Okay, so there's this excellent podcast that you guys should check out if you aren't checking it out already.
It's called The Young Turks.
Yes.
Oh,
I'm sure a lot of you are already checking that out. Consider your members.
Okay.
But Radiolab is a really great podcast, and they cover a wide variety of topics.
Are those the NPR folks?
Yeah, I think so. Okay. I think so.
No, I don't do NPR. I'm out.
They play banjos in the background.
That's, I knew it.
No, they don't play banjos.
You will one day turn into a radio lab and there will be banjos in the background.
No.
Okay, you'll see.
They do such a good job. Okay, so there's never been banjos, but they do manage to make the podcast a lot more interesting with sound effects that make sense.
Okay, we're needlessly focusing
on the most irrelevant part of all of this. Okay.
Okay, let's get to Oliver Sipple, the story of a mediocre NFL quarterback from the 1970s.
It sounds like
he played for the Browns and the Seahawks in the last year. Before Oliver Sipple left the league.
Oh my God, Oliver. Okay, so let me tell you the story. I'm dying to get into it. So back in 1975, a woman by the name of Lisa.
Ling.
No.
Blue.
I'm sorry.
Murkowski.
Sarah Jane Moore. That was her name. 1975. A woman by the name of Sarah Jane Moore did an assassination attempt on Gerald Ford.
Oh.
Okay. He was coming out of a hotel, and she had a pistol. And she takes the pistol out of her bag, aims for him, shoots, and misses. Then she attempted to shoot for the second time. And as she was attempting to do that, Oliver Sipple, who was right behind her and kind of like crammed into her because of the crowd, somehow managed to stop her from firing the second shot. Okay, so all of a sudden, this man who was US veteran, he had served as a Marine, he had fought in Vietnam, won medals as a result of his service, was made this big public figure. He was out there, everyone's like, oh my God, he's an American hero, he's an American hero,
saved
right?
Saved the life of a president.
He saved the life of a president. Now.
Pause.
Okay.
Okay, now on to other stories not related to this.
Okay, there's so much to get into.
I know, just real quick. So I tell my kids bedtime stories, most of them are about real life stories. And I told them a story about FDR was almost killed by an assassin, but was saved by the wobbly chair. You know this story?
I don't.
Okay. So it was like some Italian immigrant got it in his head that he needed to kill FDR. It was right after he was elected, if I remember right.
Mm-hmm.
It was in Chicago, and FDR was sitting next to the Chicago mayor, and I act out the stories because that I used to just tell them, but I was losing joy. She's like, no, I think Barbie's slightly more interesting and she'd go and play with her dolls or whatever, right? So I started acting out the stories. So, but he got up on a chair and thank God it was a defective chair that wobbled. Now, not thank God for the Chicago mayor because he also had a pistol, but when the chair wobbled, he wound up shooting the Chicago mayor instead of FDR. And the mayor died, again, if I remember right. But FDR survived and went on to do the New Deal, Social Security, and win the war and do all the things that he did. And all that because of a wobbly chair.
It's fucking insane.
Right?
Yeah.
It's amazing how history sometimes hinges on a hinge.
Yeah.
In that case, literally. And so Sipple in this case, thank God he was in the area and was brave enough that was already a veteran and risked his life to save Gerald Ford's life.
Right.
Who now, of course, as history would have it, Ford didn't do anything. So, but I'm glad he was alive. I didn't want him to die. It's fairly irrelevant president, but still. Okay.
Okay.
So now the rest of the story.
All right. So first of all, real quick, Sarah Jane Moore. Sir, it was attempted murder. She did serve time in prison, 32 years, and then she was out on parole, right?
That is kind of amazing.
It is fucking amazing. And so I was like briefly outraged by that. And then Christian's like, well, she didn't murder him. I mean, what she did was terrible and she served her time, but like, do you want her in prison for the rest of her life? And I'm like, you know, it's interesting because we're like so conditioned to be like overly punitive now that I feel like she would be in prison for the rest of her life had she tried to do that now.
Yeah, so Hinckley, who shot Reagan, also started to get, was able to go out and he comes back into prison, but is able to go out on his own now. Yeah, and it is mind blowing because we're so much more draconian now.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
That like when we see sentences like you tried to kill a U.S. president.
Yeah.
And we're letting you out at some point. Like now, you smoked the wrong kind of weed, and we're never gonna let you out.
No, I mean, I feel like if you attempted to do that now, you would be shot and killed. Like, what do you mean, trial, court? Like, really?
I don't know.
Anyway, that's so.
Do you remember why she did it? I don't remember.
So here's another fascinating part. Till this day, she refuses to say why. And during the Radiolab podcast, they spoke to her. They found her. They spoke to her. They asked her that question, and she was like, "This is not an interview about my intentions. This is an interview about Oliver Sipple and what he was put through as a result of saving the president's life."
How incredibly strange!
So strange. This whole thing is—you guys have to listen to it, okay? Because I'm not doing the story justice.
No, wrong. You are doing it justice.
Okay.
They're better off listening to this than the actual podcast.
Okay.
Go, keep
okay. Okay. So Oliver Sipple saves the president's life. And then all of a sudden, his life is ruined. And it's ruined because all of a sudden, everyone learns that he's gay. And remember, this is 1975. And at that time, it was a commonly held belief that homosexuality meant that you're a pedophile, okay?
Yeah.
And that you victimize children. And so it's a disgusting period when it comes to gay rights. And Oliver Sipple had actually left his home, I forget where he was originally from, to go move to San Francisco so he could kind of live freely. San Francisco was pretty much the only place in the country where gay people could be out and they didn't have to worry about retaliation or, you know, unfair treatment.
By the way, conservatives still hate San Francisco to this day, partly or maybe even largely because of that.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's why they started calling San Francisco liberal in the first place. And oh yeah, are they really Americans? Remember Bill O'Reilly said maybe the terrorists should take out Coit Tower in San Francisco?
Yeah, yeah.
That's how much they hate gay people. Anyway,
fucking
yes.
Insane. Okay, so anyway, he's living in San Francisco and he had become great friends with Harvey Milk, like really good friends. Harvey Milk, of course, first openly gay politician. And they even dated the same guy at different times. Like they were just very close, okay? So Harvey finds out that, you know, Oliver Sipple is now in the limelight because of what he did. And Harvey Milk was a huge proponent of pressuring people to come out if they were gay because it normalizes it, right? It also forces families to deal with the fact that there's someone in their family that they love who has a sexual orientation that, you know, they've been fear-mongered about. And so Harvey Milk outs him.
So just real quick, Harvey Milk, of course, legendary gay rights activist, along with famously being an out politician, who ironically in this story, you know, in regards to this story, was assassinated.
Yeah.
Himself later, obviously. I don't think I need to clarify that. anyway, but he was right in the long run. People coming out of the closet made a giant difference in perception. And this is not just anecdotal and not just the arc of history, but studies showed that the more people knew they had family members who were gay, the more they became accepting of gays.
Yes.
So he was long term right, but short term, in the case of Oliver Sipple, it did a lot of damage.
Oh, it did an insane amount of damage. So Oliver Sipple was called in for an interview with a news outlet, I forget which one. And all of a sudden, like he hears news about how people are finding out about his sexual orientation. And at first he was, like he denied it because like the authorities will literally come after you. You know, they will question you, they will interrogate you.
It was— almost everybody denied it back then. Because like if you think about it from today's lens, hey, be proud of who you are. No, you don't get it, man. They're gonna ruin your life if you came out as gay.
And yeah. It ruined his life. So at first he denied it. And at that point, gay rights activists, the gay community turned their backs on him because they felt disrespected. They felt like, you know, someone who should have been an ally, someone who could have changed the perception of gay people in America had turned his back on them. And then at the same time, I mean, his sexuality was out and a bunch of people, who knew him in San Francisco, he was open in San Francisco. Those people came forward and they're like, he's denying it, but he's gay. I know he's gay, right? Mm-hmm. And so the truth about his sexuality came out. The gay community had turned its back on him and his family disowned him, okay? Mm-hmm. And only one person in his family still had decent ties with him, and that was his brother. But his mom and dad disowned him, wanted nothing to do with him. And his mom and dad were also being harassed because their son was gay. And so at one point, his mother had passed away and he really wanted to go to the funeral. And his father prevented him from going to his mom's funeral. And then he was a super lonely guy, like he didn't have anyone in his life. And he had one friend, and Radiolab found this guy or found some of this guy's writing. He also passed away. And he had written about how Oliver Sipple, like, you know, he was disabled because of his time in the military. And so the only money that he got was SSI. And so once he would get that check, he would go to the bar, he would buy everyone drinks. He would have like the time of his life that night. He would lose all of his money that night.
Just Sipple's friend.
Sipple's friend wrote about this,
oh,
right?
I see.
Of
okay.
Sipple. And then he would be broke the rest of the month, but he just wanted that human interaction and that like camaraderie so badly that he would just spend all his money that one night.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Anyway, then all of a sudden, no one hears from him for several days and people are kind of worried about him. You know, people at this bar, and he had also befriended an elderly woman in his building. And so his friend, the guy that I'm talking about who's writing about him, decides to go to his apartment to check up on him, knocks on the door, no one's answering, goes to the landlord and says, you need to let me in, I'm really concerned. And he opens the door and there he is, and he's dead. He's laying there with, or he's sitting in a chair with a bottle of Jack Daniels. And the coroner had said that he had been dead for 10 days and no one knew. He was only 47 years old. And there's a bunch of details I'm leaving out because it's impossible to remember every detail, but it was just so powerful and so fucking painful to hear what happened to him. And he should be celebrated as an American hero, but I don't think most people know about it. I didn't know about him.
Yeah, no, I didn't either. That's a powerful story. It reminds me of the story of the white runner from Australia who let the black American runners who had won in 1968 borrow his black gloves so they could do the mm-hmm. the hands, the fists in the air protests, which mm-hmm. you know is also related to the news today. And he was ostracized in Australia, mm-hmm. and the Olympic Commission kept saying to him, "We'll let you back in and let you have a job, but only if you disown those other runners." And he would never do it, and he died also lonely and broke. For his act of heroism, mm-hmm. And the two two runners who I'm blanking on their names now,
John Tommy Smith.
That's it, Tommy Smith and John Carlos. For whatever reason, I have a mental block on their names. Mm-hmm. It's like I can anyway. So Tommy Smith and John Carlos went to his funeral and carried his casket,
mm-hmm.
and it was like a really, really touching story.
Yeah,
and you know that's the thing about life. Sometimes heroes are celebrated, and like you know, Nelson Mandela, living legend, he passed away now, and how long was he in jail? 27 or 37 years?
Fuck.
Okay.
It's crazy.
And solitary confinement for a lot of it, broke rocks, and he would teach his jail guards. Okay. Mm-hmm. He's just an unbelievable guy, but there was redemption, and he saved the whole country, and he became a living legend. He could have died in jail in one of those decades of you know, and then nobody would have remembered. Well, some yeah. people would have remembered Mandela, but he wouldn't have been what he is today.
Right.
And so, but at least he got redemption, and he got a hero's welcome that he should have.
Yeah.
And some heroes die lonely.
Oh God, and then you know, being an atheist and not believing in an afterlife, like those are the moments that are the hardest because that's how he died, and that's it. His life is over.
Lights out.
Oh, it's so, it's, it was just really, I'm gonna get like emotional thinking about it. It was painful to think about it. Anyway.
All right, well, we leave you on those two notes, which mm-hmm. is be decent to one another. And so that's why I was Villanueva, Villanueva, mm-hmm. okay, Villanueva, who did something that I wouldn't have done, was the Steeler lineman who came out and, mm-hmm. and while the rest of the team stayed behind. But that's okay, man, don't judge him too harshly. He's living his American life, right? And his principles and what he believes in. Brady, don't judge him too harsh. Like whatever, just because yeah. somebody seems to be on the not sufficiently on your side, etc. Mm-hmm. Don't judge him too harshly. We all live too short, okay? And that's the other thing, man. Savor the day, seize the day. It doesn't mean you go wild and pull a Sipple and buy drinks for everybody at the bar every time and run yeah. out of money, right? But some sort of balance. Where you plan for the long term, but for God's sake, enjoy the day. Okay?
Yeah.
All right. We love you guys. We'll see you tomorrow.